in and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Tuesday, to get you through all these crises we're dealing with. In a world where few things are reliable, we are reliable. You're listening to The Jason Rancher. We're live on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM of the Greater East Side. We got a lot to get to. We only have 2 hours left to do it. SBD comes under more scrutiny from some very bad actors. Mayor Jenny Durkan is about to deliver a press briefing live on the previous night's riot in Seattle. Plus, good news for Snohomish and Pierce counties. They might be getting into phase number two. King County, they haven't even applied yet. Oh, my God. You know what that means, right?
You're never getting a haircut.
Never getting a haircut. This hour of the Jason Rancho brought to you by Primary Residential Mortgage, PRMI. A lot of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Back the blue.
We back the blue proudly on this show because we understand what officers go through and how difficult their job is each and every day. They put on that uniform, decide to go into the community and protect and serve. We know that 99.9% of cops are good, are moral, are ethical, are just. And we know that they will proudly call out bad policing because it brings them a bad name. It makes their jobs harder when other people aren't doing their jobs correctly. Law enforcement has gotten together and overwhelmingly condemned Derek Chauvin, this officer from Minneapolis that murdered George Floyd, overwhelmingly came out against what happened. But of course, they are seen now as the enemy. One bad cop means that every single cop is bad to these activists. It's weird. They don't treat other professions that way. When you have a teacher who molests a student, not all teachers are molesters. When you've got individuals who commit an act of violence, let's say a Jewish person robs a bank, not all Jews are bank robbers. Yet when it comes to cops, we hear the same old thing over and over and over again. All cops are bastards. That's what Antifa believes. That's what anarchy believers promote. That's what a lot of these quote-unquote peaceful protesters are chanting. They're peaceful, but they're chanting hateful commentary against the cops. It's their right to do that. But understand the context in what's going on right now, because the Seattle Office of Police Accountability, the OPA, this is the organization, independent organization run by civilians within the SPD that does investigations into potential abuse by officers. They said they're reviewing and processing about 12,000 complaints. 12,000 complaints against officers for what happened over the past 4 days. Now, only about 10,000 people protested in Seattle on Saturday, for example. And yet we got 12,000 complaints. It's weird how the math works out that way. It's almost like a lot of them are just looking for anything to complain about. Now, the OPA released 10 incidents that they say received the most complaints. And many of them, if not all of them, are pretty ridiculous. So one of the complaints, for example, we talked a little bit about it yesterday, was a man was punched by an officer on the ground while being arrested. This happened on Friday night. And a whole bunch of activists showed some video online and they said, look, two officers on top of a dude and they are raining down on him. They're just beating on this guy. He didn't deserve it. This is police brutality. And then we get more video showing that this individual decided to break the police lines and first throw a punch against the officer. He punched an officer. And then he was resisting arrest. And so to protect themselves and each other, they decided to punch this individual while he was resisting, while he was assaulting them. That's appropriate. Then we have the claims of a young girl being pepper sprayed on Saturday in Seattle at one of the moments of the protest that got out of hand. It was caught on tape. not the actual pepper spraying of the girl, but the aftermath, and then the shaming of the police officers.
Hey, give her some space.
Now, at this point, you can see in the video that they are pouring milk on her face and on her eyes because that can dull the pain of the pepper spray. But as you hear her screaming in pain, this is at the point where most people say, why'd you bring your kid to a protest that you thought might get out of hand? But we'll push that aside for now. Part of the screaming, I'm told she's lactose intolerant. I'm kidding. It's sad to see this.
Does it still make you sick if you get it in your eyes and you're lactose intolerant?
Don't know, actually. I don't know. Now they're turning to officers. And it continues on and on and on. Now, social media instigators, including some from out of the country, including one dude from Toronto who was trolling me today on Twitter, he ended up blocking me, and I'm okay with that. They decided to put out the name of a cop who they said did this. They specifically gave his name and his badge number, and as a result, a whole bunch of those 12,000 complaints to OPA include that guy's name. It turns out OPA was very quick to be able to identify him as not the person who was involved at all. But that, of course, doesn't matter to the bad faith activists out there who would love, love, love to shame and dox any officer that they can, because this is about bullying them. They don't care whether or not what they're saying is right. They do not care. This is not what it's about to them. To them, this is all about their activism and their ideology, and it happens to be anti-cop. This dude that they decided to shame on social media has already been cleared. You've got another incident that they are looking into. An officer placing a knee on the neck area, not the neck, but the neck area, of people who had been arrested. Now, I saw one of the videos last night. It was in the middle of a scuffle where someone was trying to get out of being arrested. And the knee was not on the neck. It was more like on the shoulder area. And you know how long it lasted, Producer Peyton? Any guesses? Say 2 seconds.
2 seconds.
I don't know how you got that because I know you hadn't even seen the video.
I haven't.
About 2 seconds, the knee was on the neck, quote-unquote, area. Then you have complaints about covering up badge numbers. They don't cover up badge numbers to get out of getting in trouble. We keep hearing from the Seattle City Council and activists on Twitter that people are covering up their badges so they can just go crazy on protesters. This is a vicious lie, and it's more vicious because these people know it. They are wearing mourning badges to commemorate fallen law enforcement officers. This has been going on for years. They're doing this to honor the memories of the people who died while on service, servicing you, servicing their communities, protecting these losers who go on to attack them because they're all about protecting your right to free speech. Not when you get violent, but if you're there peaceful, they're there to make sure that it continues peacefully. Shama Sawant has been a leader in trying to push this nonsense, this lie, this vicious lie, that they're covering up their badge to get away with illegal behavior. Lisa Herbold, the Seattle City Councilwoman, the grandma with the nose ring, as she loves to call herself, she's looking to ban the symbols, to ban this kind of symbolic gesture to honor fallen members of the law enforcement community. Imagine for a second if they were trying to stop people from wearing an LGBTQ pin. Imagine what would happen for a second, but when it comes to honoring dead officers, they're all about leaning into that. It's because this council, they share the same anti-cop ideology as a lot of the people who are out there on the streets. You have all of these cases. I've gone through every single one of the top 10 that they say have been the biggest complainers, the complainants. And there's nothing here against an activist, against a protester that warrants any sort of punishment. The only thing that's on this list that I do think there is some concern over, and I think this is valid, failing to secure the rifles in the rear of a patrol vehicle. Now, of course, we had that video I posted went crazy, of a Q-13 security guard who expertly, swiftly went to an Antifa-style protester who had broken into one of the cop cars and took out an AR-15, and the report was that this individual was actually shooting that AR-15 into the car, which, by the way, could have resulted in lots of dead people if this guy was out of control, if this guy did not have control of the AR-15. This bodyguard, or this security professional, swiftly takes the gun from the guy. He's got a handgun in his hand. He grabs the AR-15 and he disables it. And it happened in a matter of seconds. You know how sometimes you see war movies and you're all like, "That there's no way that's how quickly they can work. This is nonsense. I wish they would be more realistic." That's what it looked like.
Yeah, the dude was quick.
I've never seen anyone disarm and disable that quickly.
Big ups to that guy.
Unbelievable. That guy's a hero. But the question is, did you leave that AR-15 in your vehicle to a point where it was easily stolen? And I think that there's some validity to that complaint. Not to fire someone, because again, people broke into the vehicle, destroyed the vehicle, and then did it. But I do think that that's worth looking into. Beyond that, I haven't really seen a problem with what the cops have been doing here. I've seen a lot of nonsense coming from activists who want to pretend what's going on is wrong. But the fact of the matter is, and Chief Carmen Best said this the other day, this is a department that actually keeps people on task, actually makes sure that people are following rules.
There is no place else that I know of that has a community police commission, an office of inspector general, an office of professional accountability, a force review board, and all of the follow-up that occurs for Seattle Police Department. There is a lot. So no one is going to use force and it go unchecked and unnoticed.
These folks will never be happy. Seriously, they will never, ever, ever be happy until they completely dismantle the SPD. You have Shama Sawant out there actively saying her goal is to create a community board that is responsible for all the hiring and firing of police officers. Now, of course, when she says community board, she means the people that she handpicks. Activists who hate cops to put them on this board. That's not how it's going to ever work. It's not how it should work. It's not how it would work. It will never happen, but she is guided by her animosity towards cops. A lot of the folks who are standing out there, the reason why their movement, the Black Lives Matter movement, isn't going to catch on the way that they keep hoping, because as much as there are lots of people in the streets, there are lots of people, more people not in the streets. And the question then becomes, after something like George Floyd, where everyone pretty much agrees that he was murdered, why isn't everyone in the streets? Because the message behind some of these protesters that are so-called peaceful, it's violent messaging. All cops are bastards. They are spray painting that, tagging it on buildings. Kill cops. They're spray painting that. Cops are pigs. They're posting that everywhere. I'm someone who thinks George Floyd was murdered and I want that cop to go to jail. I will never identify with the Black Lives Matter movement, not until they get rid of all of these other jokers, fringe activists. They're the ones who are tearing everybody apart. Do you want to identify with a group of people who think all cops are racist murderers? I don't. 99.9% of the cops are good, decent officers who are putting their own lives on the line in service of you. Sometimes cops make mistakes. Sometimes cops murder. It is true. Tammy Morales seems to indicate or think that this is happening every single day. It is not. It is not by a long shot. There's video that's online right now that's gone viral again. It originally actually went viral back in 2014. And back at the time, this was in Milwaukee, there was a police shooting of a man, and everyone was outraged. Everyone was disgusted, and they had some hearing, a public hearing. And in attendance was the Milwaukee Police Chief Edward Flint. And while this hearing was underway, he was on his cell phone. He wasn't really paying attention. It didn't look like. He was on his phone. What's up with that, dude? Why would you be on your phone? People were outraged by this. And so afterwards, the media got in front of him and said, hey, what's up with that? Why'd you do that? Wasn't that disrespectful? Here's his response.
Well, I was on my phone, and yes, that's true. I was following developments with a five-year-old little girl sitting on her dad's lap who just got shot in the head by a drive-by shooting. And if some of the people here gave a good about the victimization of people in this community by crime, I take some of their invective more seriously. The greatest racial disparity in the city of Milwaukee is getting shot and killed. Hello. 80% of my homicide victims every year are African-American. 80% of our aggravated assault victims are African-American. 80% of our shooting victims who survived their shooting are African-American. Now, they know all about the last three people that have been killed by the Milwaukee Police Department over the course of the last several years. There's not one of them can name one of the last three homicide victims we've had in this city. Now, there's room for everybody to participate in fixing this police department, and I'm not pretending we're without sin. But this community is at risk, all right. And it's not because men and women in blue risk their lives protecting it. It's at risk because we have large numbers of high-capacity, quality firearms in the hands of remorseless criminals who don't care who they shoot. Now, I'm leaving here to go to that scene. And I take it personally, okay? We're going up there, and there's a bunch of cops processing a scene of a dead kid. And they're the ones that are going to be out there patrolling and stopping suspects, and they have guns under the front seat. They're the ones that are going to take the risks of their lives to try to clean this thing up. All right? We're responsible for the things we get wrong, and we take action. We've arrested cops, we've fired cops, and so on. But the fact is that the people out here, some of them, who had the most to say, are absolutely MIA when it comes to the true threats facing this community, and it gets a little tiresome, and when you start getting yelled at for reading the updates of the kid that gets shot, yeah, you take it personal, okay? Now, no offense, but I'm going up there now.
This video is going viral again because of the powerful message. He's not saying that there have not been cases of police brutality, but it sure seems like no one cares about all the other crimes. You have a movement right now that is focused on George Floyd. And the message coming from folks in the community is that this is happening every single day. Black people are getting hunted down and murdered by cops every single day. Peyton, I have a question for you.
I'll try and have an answer.
2019, how many instances of cops shooting and killing black men or women who were unarmed? So a George Floyd kind of situation, but with guns.
I'm trying to guess how many?
Yes.
15.
15, really?
15.
You think 15 of 2019? Why is everyone so mad? Happens every day. You think it was 15?
365.
No, you were still already too high.
Oh.
10. It was 10. It was 10. Now, we don't know all the individual cases of those 10 people. But when you listen to these protesters, they're saying it's happening every day. They're saying that African Americans cannot walk the streets without fear of getting murdered by a cop. I'd like this number to be zero. I don't want a cop to shoot anybody, including bad guys. No cop wants to shoot and kill a bad guy. But 10 is not one every single day, as Tammy Morales wants us to believe. Now, even when you look at the data of use of force, deadly force by officers against African Americans, you know what that full number is? When you include everything, all the other data, 236. Now, of the 236, 152 had a gun on them. When you have a gun on you and you might actually use it against a cop, there's going to be a high likelihood that that cop is going to shoot and kill you. To avoid that, you obviously don't have a gun on you and don't pull a gun on a cop. 152 in 2019. 31 were using a knife against a cop and ended up getting shot and killed. 18 were trying to use their vehicle to kill a cop. Five of them were mistakes. Toy guns. Some of them looked really, really, really authentic. But they will have you believe the activists, the politicians, they will have you believe that this is happening with impunity. It is not.
Breaking news on AM 770 KTTH.
Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. We are moments away from a press briefing from Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan. She will be speaking alongside the Chief of Police, Carmen Best, as well as the Fire Chief, Harold Scoggins. They are going to give updates on the demonstrations and the preparations for the multiple events, the multiple demonstrations that are being planned for this evening. But right now, there's one that's happening directly outside of the Emergency Operations Center in which this press briefing will be held. There are about 1,000 people surrounding the space as Mayor Jenny Durkan is getting ready to give her press briefing. And this is going to be an important one because right now it's Jenny Durkan versus the Seattle City Council. Because the council has overwhelmingly condemned Mayor Durkan's approach to talking about these protests. And as much as I give a hard time to Mayor Durkan, I will stand up for her in one regard. She is being honest about the way the cops are interacting with the agitators. There are folks out there on the council, whether it's Tammy Morales, who endorses looting, or Shama Sawan, who will exploit the death of George Floyd to push an Amazon tax. There are folks on that council that want you to believe the cops are the problem, the cops caused the riots, the cops caused the people looting the Old Navy and Banana Republic and Cheesecake Factory, and that the cops are purposefully targeting peaceful protesters. They want you to believe that. This mayor has spoken up in favor of the facts. She has spoken up in defense of the cops, and I give her credit for that. Because in Seattle, where there are so many cop haters, so many members of Antifa and anarchy and anarchists, that doing so is politically unpopular. Imagine that. Being truthful about the way cops operate is unpopular in the city of Seattle. And so now we're going on 3 days in which Mayor Durkan has spoken honestly and openly about what the cops are doing, defending the good policing. But my fear is, in the city of Seattle, where everything becomes politicized, how much longer can she get away with that? I was talking with John Curley earlier today. John, who is very mad that police officers overwhelmingly choose my show over his because we're on at the same time. And, you know, they're slipping a little bit, kind of old. Literally, they're old. I'm the young up-and-coming star doing amazing with the ratings, and they get a little upset and jealous. But we push that aside, their jealousy and anger.
No wonder he hates you.
I know. But John and I were talking today about the silly comment, the factually inaccurate comment that Jenny Durkan posted on Twitter, but also in an email to city staff members, that pretty much all the violence that you're seeing, all the looting across the country, is being perpetuated by white men. That is factually inaccurate. There's no data to back that up. I certainly think in the Seattle area, there are more white people committing crimes during these attempts at disrupting the peaceful protest because Antifa here is overwhelmingly white. Not exclusively, but overwhelmingly white. But to say even here that it's just white people is just factually inaccurate. You know how I know that? I watch the coverage. It turns out that looters are quite diverse. You've got opportunistic losers who are white, black, Asian. Although, actually, I haven't seen many Asian. Latino, I haven't actually... You'd like that.
I'm the best. We're the best.
But it is diverse. We very clearly... Who was looking at the video and saying, this is interesting, it's only white people? No, it's everybody! But in Seattle, you have a group of progressives who literally view themselves as white knights who need to stand up for African Americans in an incredibly condescending and, I would argue, racist way. Because when people talk about looting, you know what the white progressive thinks to themselves? Oh my gosh, when they say looting, I think black people. So now let me go ahead and just defend them without even looking at the data. They hold the racist view because they're the first thing that they think of are black people rioting. all races and genders and sexualities and religions, not ideologies, are rioting. Not all demonstrators are rioting, though. And there is data to suggest that the majority of the people out there are being peaceful. It's the agitators in the crowd. And so Mayor Jenny Durkan had to give, you know how on the right we say give red meat to the audience? I don't know what the version is of that on the left. Tofu, that organic.
Give blue cheese.
Blue cheese?
Oh, it's blue.
No, tofu was better. You ruined the joke. Yeah, turn off your microphone. You can't talk anymore. You're punished. Fine. You're punished. Turn it off.
Okay, I'll turn it off.
No, now. Turn it off.
I'm in the process of turning
it
off.
It's just a button. Just push it. No, you don't have to talk.
I'm telling you that I'm going to turn it off.
Oh, my God. He's still
talking. It's going to be off when I want it off, and that's what's important. So I'm going to turn it off.
I want it off.
I'm going to turn it off under my own will right now because I want to.
Okay. You didn't turn it off.
Nope.
Turn it off.
No.
You ruined the joke. Anyway, Mayor Jenny Durkan is giving the organic tofu to her crowd to eat it up. Because she understands that she's pissing some of them off by actually siding with the cops. I'm glad she's siding with the cops. Her comment was stupid. Tucker Carlson called it out last night on an epic 26-minute monologue. Not a commercial. He did a 26-minute monologue that I think every single American should watch. Because he takes us through what's been going on and the cowards in political leadership on both sides that seem to not really react strongly enough to the rioting, to the looting that is destroying this country. And you know what? The president over the weekend was not leading. He called the president out too. I thought it was appropriate. He was fair. And I think we're fair to the president on this show. We'll defend him. We'll defend him against some of the scurrilous attacks coming from the left. But the president did not lead over the weekend. Some tweets, that's not leadership. He should have given that speech that he gave yesterday. He should have did that on Saturday or Sunday. And I would like to hear some more messaging from him about bringing us together, not just sending out the law enforcement agencies or the National Guard or the Army. I was glad he gave that speech yesterday. I just wanted a little bit more of the unity because the truth of the matter is people are united in their anger and disgust and outrage that George Floyd was murdered by the cop, Derek Chauvin. Absolute outrage. But what got in the way of us uniting around that? What got in the way of uniting around that? These activists. Antifa. Anarchists. These folks who decided to exploit the pain a lot of people were feeling, the anxiety they were feeling. They exploited that for their own personal gain. They're pushing a very specific ideology, and they don't care that they are abusing the memory of George Floyd. They don't care that they are taking advantage of good faith protesters. They don't care at all. And that's what's driving so many people apart. And then you have people like Tammy Morales coming up and endorsing looting. That's disturbing. That's disgusting. She's a socialist Seattle City Councilwoman who is taking the position that she doesn't want to shame people who are protesting. She won't do that. She understands the power of protest, especially when it leads to the looting and the violence. That's disgusting. She should stop at protest. She, of course, isn't the only one who's taking this position. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is defending the rioting. He was on CNN.
Well, I would have to say it is the culmination of just decades of indifference toward a very real problem in the black community. The indifference that people have to repeated shootings of black Americans, unarmed black Americans, by white police officers.
10 in 2019, 10. And when people should be outraged, they're outraged. The problem I have is that you've got folks who want to make no difference between the murder of George Floyd and the justified shooting of someone like Charlena Lyles. She lured cops into her apartment. She lured them in. She lied about a break-in. And when they got there, she took a knife out. She advanced and tried to shoot and kill, or tried to stab them and kill them. And they decided to shoot back. She died. It's tragic for every single person involved, including the victim, because she was dealing with a mental illness. She was dealing with trauma. But you know what? When you advance and try to stab a cop, they're going to use their weapons. That's not an unjust shooting. What's unjust is that she didn't get the mental help that she desperately needed. But that's not the same as George Floyd. Not even close. Shea Taylor, who was in a car, a convicted felon, a rapist. When cops approached him, he reached for a gun that was not supposed to be on him. They shot and killed him. You try to kill an officer, they're going to defend themselves and each other and the community. That's not the same as George Floyd. It's not the same as George Floyd. So let's stop pretending that every single shooting is exactly the same. There are reasons to be outraged. There are reasons to be upset. There are reasons to be concerned. But not every case is exactly the same. Now, as we wait for Mayor Jenny Durkin to speak, we're going to take a very quick break. She's going to be delivering an update on how they're going to deal with the protests that are expected to continue late into the evening. When she speaks, we'll have it live for you right here on KTTH.
Mercer Island, Des Moines.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Shoreline, Woodinville, Burien.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. It's 4:46. What's going on?
Wait, what?
It's 4:46 on a weekday afternoon. We don't normally do the Big Local here.
You're telling me it's not 4:30 right
now? It's not 4:30. 4:30 was 16 minutes ago.
Did I miss a segment? Because that's on me.
Jenny Durkin decided to, literally during our commercial break, postpone their live press briefing until 5:30. So we're going to carry it at 5:30. We don't know what that means. We don't know whether or not she's postponing because there's stuff that's going on behind the scenes that's rather dramatic. So instead of vamp until her speech, we decided to move on with the Big Local, which for today only is going to be at, well, we did that before a few times in similar circumstance, but this will be the last time, I promise. The
promise?
Last time.
You promise.
4:47 now. You see what you did? You made me push it even longer. Tacoma was targeted last night for looting, for destruction. That's an unfortunate reality as a lot of these protests get taken over by these agitators, by these bad faith individuals who are either selfishly trying to steal stuff, cause problems. In some cases, these are gang members. That was the intel that they were receiving in Bellevue. In some instances, they're Antifa. Q13 is reporting Dan Ricketts, a Tacoma resident who lives above Carmen Beer Company, said as marchers moved along State Street, he saw a whole bunch of people starting to get out of their cars, and they had bats in their hands. And those people decided to target businesses.
You know, it's truly sad. You know, there's, you know, it's senseless. And, you know, the protest that was going on earlier was peaceful, and these were just people that came in to ruin the place.
They came in to ruin the place. They're taking advantage of this, and that is despicable. Now, some cities across the state are saying, no, 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 you're not doing that here. We talked about Snohomish a couple days ago. Yesterday, again, they had armed citizens out there protecting the community from anyone who wanted to come in and do harm. Now, the good news is they didn't really have any issues. There was a little bit of a scuffle that happened yesterday, but for the most part, it was otherwise peaceful. In Covington yesterday, there was concern that they were going to be targeted. In fact, there was folks talking online saying that they were specifically going to target Covington. And that's why citizens there decided to arm themselves, and they were ready, standing outside of their businesses and their neighborhoods, saying no, 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 no.
We see dozens of people on the streets protecting armed local citizens, protecting what is theirs. And I am proud to say that is my Covington.
That's Covington City Councilwoman Christina Soltis. She was on the show last night. We went in to live extended coverage at 6 o'clock, so we were there in case you weren't able to listen to the full extra hour. She joined us and said, look, Those threats were posted by losers, by these kids looking for attention, but she's proud of her city.
I'd say Covington did an amazing job of preparing. We had additional staff, additional officers brought on board immediately. We had SWAT on standby.
So we do know that there are protests all around Washington State right now. We got a text at 1-800-465-8770 indicating that there is a protest going on right now in the city of Redmond. And we know that a rally is supposed to start at 6 o'clock in Auburn, right outside of Auburn City Hall. My expectation is there are plenty other smaller gatherings all across the state. So just be aware that there's going to be some implications for traffic in and around the area. And there is the possibility that some bad actors, agitators, Antifa members decide to show up and cause some problems. So you just got to be aware of it. Meanwhile, in non-George Floyd protest news, did you realize that we still have a pandemic going on?
Are you sure that that's not over now?
I believe it's still happening. Now, granted, when the protesters decided to go to Olympia because we felt that some of our constitutional rights were being restricted, we were shamed and we were told it's incredibly dangerous. How dare you show up on the steps of the Capitol in Olympia and protest for something so silly and meaningless as your constitutional rights? How dare you? How dare you open that barber shop and cut Jason's hair tomorrow before he does Tucker Carlson tonight? Oh, but now we're closed. How dare you open that restaurant? You're putting people's lives on the line. But now that there's a protest that the governor and these Democratic mayors can get behind, all of a sudden, thumbs up. It's not all that bad. Snohomish County is the first of these three big counties here in Washington, Western Washington, to submit their variants to the state health department that would let them move into phase two earlier than the numbers would normally allow. County Executive Dave Summers says he expects a decision to come very quickly on this application. And as a result, if it's approved, restaurants could reopen for dining at 50% capacity. Barbers, salons, tattoo parlors could reopen at a limited capacity. And you can allow some in-store retail sales to begin again. I'm so grateful for that. The Pierce County Council just voted to submit an application for phase two. This vote happened last night. They haven't yet done it. My understanding, it's going to happen either today, tomorrow, or by Friday at the latest. King County didn't even submit an application yet, at least as of this morning. And I have not seen a press release suggesting that they have. So as a result, my haircut tomorrow that was perfectly timed for Tucker Carlson has been canceled.
Oh, no. Jason, what are you going to do?
How excited was I yesterday?
You were so excited. You were giddy with joy.
I was happy. And have you ever seen me happy?
First time in 10 months.
Like, this was true happiness. God, you've been here 10 months?
Yeah.
I'm like 10 years. I was so happy. And then I get a text as I'm walking home last night saying, we haven't heard yet from King County, so we have to cancel your appointment. Now, part of me, because I got pre-booked, I'm either going to be on, unless something happens, knock on wood, nothing happens, I'll either be on tomorrow or Thursday. I am praying that they just push me to Thursday if I can get a haircut Thursday morning. I am praying.
You're not getting a haircut this
week.
This
is a problem.
You're not getting a haircut this week.
Look at this hair.
No, I agree with you. It's
out of control.
It's a huge problem.
What's the one thing I care about? It's my hair.
It's your hair.
And I can't do anything with it. And this right now, folks, you can't see me, but Peyton can. It's embarrassing, and I put effort into this today.
You're not even like top 15 in the building hair-wise.
Usually I'm number one.
Curly's got better hair than you right now.
Well, he's got barely any hair.
Still better.
The Puyallup Tribe announced its new Emerald Queen Casino in Tacoma will open on Monday. The site had been set to open in late March before the coronavirus. It was obviously postponed. I imagine they didn't want to open this week because of all the protests. So they're going to open on Monday. Now it's going to begin with a prayer at 9 a.m. The casino will only open to tribal members until noon, and then the general public can come in at that point. A 12-story, 170-room hotel is still under construction there, and that'll be completed at some point in the summer. So the big news is this is yet another significant casino opening in Washington State. And as far as I can tell, I wasn't able to really track it this past weekend, but people are still showing up. So that's good. That means maybe the economy is going to recover just a little bit faster than some people think will happen. So I'm grateful for that. Good for them. Puyallup Tribe, again, is announcing Emerald Queen Casino is going to be open on Monday for the general public at 12 p.m. But the takeaway is King County still hasn't applied, and thus I can't get my haircut.
Wah, wah. Whiny rant.
So all I want is just a haircut, and I can't cut my own hair. I can barely cut some of the stray hairs that are just like just to give it a presentable look, because cutting your own hair in a mirror is impossible.
The world saw you happy, and it needed to correct that.
Yeah, there was an imbalance in this world. For one brief, fleeting moment, I had happiness in my life. Jenny Durkin, mayor of Seattle, is going to be speaking when we come back. 5:30, we'll be carrying that live right here on KTTH.